In Mark 16, 15, it says this, and Jesus said, "Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature." What people in what countries have you personally shared the gospel with? El Salvador, Colombia, Argentina, Malta, Slovenia, Moldavia, Gambia, Zanzibar, Chad, Mongolia, Cambodia, and Nigeria, just to name a few of the over 194 countries in which the Gideons distribute Bibles. How many have known to come to the Lord by your works and testimonies? I want to share with you today how you can participate, and in many cases, continue to participate in sharing God's Word. Yes, we have it, the Bible, in over 81 languages. Mark 16, 20 says, "And they went forth and preached the gospel everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. We'll have a brief video here just as an intro to the Gideons.
I lost my home, lost my job, and ended up on the streets.
I found it a suitable place for me to hang.
We found our son had taken his own life on our property.
Just as the distribution was ending, someone placed a testament in my outstretched hand.
That one testament had a great impact on our lives and our family.
This is an opportunity for me to have a new testament.
As I began to read the book of Revelations, I could see how much God loved me.
It was like for the first time in my life that I really felt acceptance.
I'm fixing up this drug, and I see the Gideon's Bible over there. But there was a force compelling me to pick this up. You know, he says he'd take away all the weights and the burdens that you have. They were gone.
It has given me hope for daily living in the worst circumstances of my life.
Then I knew that there was someone who loved me.
All I said was, "Yes, Lord." And it was like I was born again right there.
So to be a Gideon, what do you need? Number one, you must believe in the Bible, that the Bible is the holy, inspired, inerrant Word of God. You must, number two, have personal acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and walk a Christian life. And number three, maintain a church membership and be recommended by a pastor. Total scripture distribution since the Gideon organization has started is over 2 billion in over 100 years. How do they get there? One of these hotel Bibles like this that you see costs $5. One of these little Bibles like this, $1.30. Each Bible that's in a hotel stays there for at least 6 years and seen by 2,300 people. Let me tell you about Natalie Runkel, who turned 85. She was in a nursing home and had a birthday. And she had polio as a child, was in a nursing home, in a wheelchair, and what would be her chance to go out and share the gospel? Well, she said she wanted a Bible in honor of every one of her 85 years of life. And don't you know, they got together and put a donation in for 200 Bibles for Natalie. Yes, even in a nursing home in a wheelchair with polio. Let me tell you about a fifth grader, Woody McLean. We handed one of these out. It was handed to schools, to a fifth grader. Now we hand them out to sixth grade in Berkeley County. And this little girl named Jeannie took her little testament and she came home with it. And she would get and start to read it. And her dad saw it and says, "What are you doing with that thing? Throw that thing away. You can't believe anything in that book." So little Jeannie, she took her Bible at night. She took a flashlight and she hid under the covers and pulled the covers over her head. And she was reading her Bible. And don't you know, Jeannie, she started going to church, to a church 2 blocks down the street. And then about a month later, she started to take her sister. And then she started to take her mother. And her dad was a nightclub operator, and he didn't want anything to do with it. Finally, one time, she took her little Bible, and she took it, and she put it in on her daddy's nightstand. And his name was Woody, and he says he'd come every night home from the bar, and he says he saw that sitting there, and something inside of him wanted to say, he wanted to pick it up and just throw it away, but he didn't. And he said he'd come home night after night, and he'd see that little Bible sitting there, and he said, "I saw my kids going to church, and I saw my wife going to church." And he said, finally, he says, "I have to go and see what's going on in that church." And don't you know, Woody, a nightclub operator, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. Now, Woody is a pastor of a church. What can just one testament do? We have another video here. I thank for videos because they can actually show and express what the testimony that we have here.
10 years old, and I held my mother's gun to my head, and I wanted to blow my brains out all over her wall. You must ask the question, why would a 10-year-old child want to die? 10 is a time to dream of being an astronaut, of being a soccer star, a football player, a preacher, a pastor, a doctor. But for me, life was so horrific, with so much vitriol and pain, I wanted to die. I'm the product of interracial immigrants. My grandmother was tall, white, and thin from Germany, and we called her French Fry. My grandfather was a big, burly black man from Cuba, and we called him Hamburger. Hamburger met French Fry and created a happy meal. And these two immigrants produced 7 McNuggets with special sauce. We would joke that we would have Wiener Schnitzel with salsa for Thanksgiving. My grandfather had to hide the fact in the 1940s in America that he was married to a Caucasian woman. But one wedding anniversary, he had a flaw. He liked to drink overproof Cuban rum. And one evening he was inebriated. And a man saw them together and said to my grandmother, "Why would you be a nigger lover?" My grandfather, with huge arms, lost his temper and hit the man in the jaw and broke his neck. The man didn't die, but he was injured severely. He went to the worst prison, convicted of the crime, Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio, locked down 23 hours a day. It hit the newspapers that my grandmother was married to this convicted felon and she lost her job. But being a German woman, she didn't complain or whine or woe is me. She began to work odd jobs, cleaning other people's houses and toilets, taking care of their children. But as she was working, she would have fainting spells, passing out doing her job. She went to the doctor and discovered that she had a tumor growing behind her left eye that was metastasizing to her brain. And the doctor said, "We have to take out a third of your face, your eye. You will be malformed and disformed and disfigured for the rest of your life. What do you do when the American dream becomes an American nightmare?" She could not work. She was sick and mutilated. My grandfather's in jail. And day by day, they lost everything that they had acquired. They lost their house. They lost their car. They lost their furniture. They lost their dignity. They lost their self-esteem. And they were living in the streets like animals. My three uncles got hooked on heroin. They belonged to a gang called the Devil's Disciple. And my entire family became atheistic. No God, no prayer, no Bible, no hope. And my mother, at age 14, was called by a pimp named Larry, who said to her, "What is school doing for you? You are sitting on a gold mine." She said, "Where?" He said, "You're sitting on it." And we call this being turned out. And little by little, she began to sell her 14-year-old body to grown men for money to survive. It's called turning tricks. And at age 16, she got pregnant. We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction, and there's a mistake. The pimp said, "You can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby." They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again. But the baby would not die. The baby was born 2 months premature with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it, was the word. That baby was me. I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn four things: don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I wanted to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, "Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom." She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of His word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed according to your word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor and priest until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes, I was born a trick baby, but the trick was on the devil because of you and the power of the word of God.
Right now, we have a deficit. Now, we don't go in debt, but we have countries like Nicaragua, Ecuador, Madagascar, Guatemala, Togo, Benin, Romania, Uganda, the Czech Republic, Jamaica, Vietnam, and on, that are saying, "Send scriptures. Send me God's word." Right now, there's a deficit of over 9.3 million scriptures where people are saying me, "Send me God's word." How can you help? The Bible says in John 17:17, "The word is truth." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the truth." So what we're trying to do is send truth to the world. This is not about the Gideons, but this is about him. Jesus is the truth, and the world is longing to know the truth. These Bibles are sent out by Gideons paying their own way and paying all their personal expenses. 100%, get this, 100% of what you give goes to purchase the and publish and ship those Bibles to their destination. Our fees, our dues pays for all administrative costs, so nothing you do. So what organization can you give to where 100% goes to what you give it to? You can either go online to Gideons.org or help in retiring offering. You can change eternity for someone in the world by filling this great commission. It's really simple, too. We have cards out there in the lobby. Say your pastor has a birthday, or somebody you know has a birthday, that in honor card or in memory card or thinking of you card, somebody's been sick. It's really easy. You take the card, send it to them, put your name and address, put a little note in here if you want, mail it to who you're sending it to. And then all you do, say if you donated 5 Bibles, that would be $25. You just take a $25 check, stick it in this, and mail it to the Gideons. That's how simple it is, okay? And you will be fulfilling the Great Commission. Let me just share one more with you real briefly. Found this hotel Bible at Super 8 Hotel. Let me read what was inside when I found it. It says, Super 8 Hotel in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you will never be the same again. I never, ever thought I could be so very, very happy and truly satisfied with my life. I feel no anger, no hatred, and now I'm a single person. It's unreal. Believe enough to try it. If only you knew how very much God and can and will give you a wonderful life and success and successful and happy life. I've been there many places. I know. I've been there. I've done that. Limos, furs, jewelry, and nothing can compare with the love of Jesus. Little smiley face. Be strong enough to try God. If you are sincere and really accept Jesus as your personal Savior, it's unreal. I'm so sorry I wasted all those years searching for happiness and fulfillment when all I had to do was let God be God and accept His help. I still can't believe it. I wish I knew years ago. No matter what you buy, what you do, who you know, or what position you reach in whatever profession, real, true peace and happiness will never be a part of your life without God. He made us that way, and I'm incomplete and never will be whole without Him. I got it. Another smiley face, okay. I've learned to share. I've learned not to judge. I've learned how to encourage others. And to everything I do to help others, God blesses me for doing it. Unreal. Another smiley face here, okay? Super 8 Hotel, Martinsburg, West Virginia. I'm going to ask for who prepared the way for this, okay? You know, one of the things is God did. He had the Ten Commandments. Did we know the Ten Commandments? Could we say them all in order? Huh? Okay, first one, thou shalt have no gods before me, you know. Shall not make any idols, shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, right? Honor the Sabbath day, or to keep it holy. The fifth one, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, okay? And then it's, thou shalt not murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, covet, you know, that's it. So the commandments, if you look at them, the way they're structured, they are a message in itself. The first four are what? our relationship with God. Okay? He tells us our relationship. The fifth one, okay, honor your mother and father, is our relationship with our parents and our family, right? And then it's relationship with others. What don't you do to others? Well, you don't murder, adultery, steal, lie, or covet, okay? So those commandments kind of establish things. So right after we honor God, or our attention to God is our commandments for to honor our parents. So if you want to honor someone, okay, what do you do? In Micah 2:2 it says here, if you do not listen and do not honor my name, I will send a curse on you and curse your blessing, says God. Okay? So what's the first part of honor? Is to listen, isn't it? To listen to your parents. Now, when I was growing up, I don't know, you know, how well did I listen, you know? I'd say sometimes I got an A, and sometimes I got an F, okay? And some are ungraded, and I'm going to keep them out of way, okay? So the first thing you have to do is to listen. Just in case she would ever bring a report card down to my mother, Mary, and find one in my grade school, just to let you know, A stand for awful, and F's are fine. Okay. But growing up, I had wonderful parents. You know, I can honestly say, with my dad, for example, I never heard him once in all of his life say a cuss word. Never once. He was always kind, and he was even tempered, and he never lost his temper, and you know, he was always someone you could go talk to. So he was very good, and always provided for the family. And Mom, of course, she, you know, we never went hungry. We didn't have a lot of material things, you know, lots of stuff. But not only did we never go hungry, she's really a good cook, you know. And I thought back, how many meals was that, you know? How many meals was that? For me to get over 18, it was like 20,000 meals that had to be. 20,000, okay? So how can I ever repay? Why did God say in the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long? Can you ever pay them back? No, you can't. I can't pay back all that they've done for me, you know? I can't pay back all that God has done for me. Now, they took me to church all the time, every Sunday, okay? Not only Sunday, but Sunday evening, Wednesdays, Wednesday evening church. You know, when I look at my mom and dad, they've been here all their life. They have accumulated here, between the two of them, over 175 years attendance at Central Chapel. 175, over 175 years. Wow, what a record. So they gave me their best. And so for that, I know one of the things they did for me was make me take music lessons. You know, as a kid, I didn't realize that was a sacrifice. I thought I was doing all the sacrifice. You know, I was the one being sacrificed on. So what I'd like to do, and honor my parents, I like to play a song for them. And please bear with me. I'm going to try to get through it. When they ring those golden bells. I'll try to read a couple of the words first so that for those that might not know this old song, it goes, there's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. And we only reach the shore by faith, you see. Yes, I want to see my Jesus. Shake his hand and have him greet us when they ring those golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear those bells are ringing? Can't you hear the angels singing? It's a glory hallelujah jubilee in the far off great forever, just beyond the shining river. When they ring those golden bells for you and me, when our days have known their number, when death is sweetly slumber, when the kingdom mends its spirits to be free, there'll be no more stormy weather. will live peacefully together when they ring those golden bells for you and me. One time when my daughter was 5 years old, at Christmas time, she said it best. She had a present in her hand, and she climbed up on my lap. And she goes, "Daddy," she goes, "we don't need all these presents because we have love." You know, I've asked myself, what makes you successful in life? When do you think you're successful? You know, today's world tells you that it's all these cars, who has the biggest house and all the things. You know, none of that means you're successful in life. I think if I was successful in life, what it says is, if my kids said I was a good dad and they knew the Lord, that would mean I was successful. Mom and Dad, you're successful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thankfulness of heart for all those that have prepared the way for us to come through. And many times it's fallen upon us now to prepare the way for those in front of us. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us the strength, the wisdom, and the love to go forward. That we will see the trouble in the world as an opportunity to share the love and the joy and the peace that only Jesus can bring. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, your blessing is upon us and upon those that have prepared a way. May you be with us. May you guide us and direct us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, amen.